Hey guys, Brian John Spencer here, day 15 of the Ireland in 32 Days project. And I'm with here in the small farm holding of Elizabeth and Matt. We met over Twitter, a chance tweet, and I gained myself a wonderful night. And it has been magical, really. We went outside, we saw the geese and the ducks and the chickens, and it was fantastic. And Elizabeth served off and Matt a fantastic dinner. Joined then later by Senator Frank Fahan, and then later by Tom Coppinger. You're the local hero. So
drama producer and
everything. General fact total.
Yeah. So it's a circle of conversation tonight around the table, but I'm here now to talk to Frank about his views that he's been expressing of late, which tie in quite well with what I'm trying to achieve. I'm trying to challenge myself, but I'm also trying to challenge others. I grew up with a set narrative, and I think everyone in Ireland grows up with set narratives, and I think if there's any way forward, it has to be by breaking those old narratives and creating something new if we're to have unity or an Ireland that is together. So I just want to ask Frank straight off, can you tell us this wild proposal? This sort of, obviously say in a jokingly, West Brit idea of bringing Ireland into the Commonwealth, that's outrageous, is it not?
Well, first of all, I come from probably the strongest Republican background in County Roscommon. My grandfather was a Sinn Féin councillor, was commander of the IRA in Roscommon, joined the Gardaí, and my other family, the Feehans, my other grandfather was in prison in Dundalk prison. He was from Collyhanna, the Feehans, so I have that. So I grew up in a town of Boyle, which was very much a garrison town. And I suppose it was part of a history that we forgot about, because 126 young men from North Roscommon went to fight in World War One, and they never came home. And they were effectively airbrushed out of our history. And I always felt that my grandfather, James Feely, who was the first Garda in the Garda Síochána, he came home from being on hunger strike in the Curra to be carried shoulder high. And I always felt that he was remembered, but his friends weren't, and that happens in war. So I suppose at the end of my street was, we call it the British Army Barracks, but we didn't realise, you know, the significance. And that was in the space of maybe 50 years. So then I, as I said, the Anglo-Irish Agreement was to me a great occurrence in our country. And then I got elected to the Shannon in 2002 and the Dáil twice. And I was thankful that I was chair of the British Irish Parliamentary Assembly and also chair of the Good Friday Agreement. And going to meet various traditions in Northern Ireland, especially Ulster Unionists would put it to me and said, well, you want a united Ireland or whatever, what have you got against the Commonwealth? And it's only then, and the Commonwealth, I said, no, that never happened. And only when I researched Ireland's involvement in the Commonwealth that I realised that there was a lot of things. We were active members, 32, but we were members in 49, and we left the Commonwealth because effectively John A. Costello was supposed to have been insulted by the Governor General of Canada while on an official visit. He was, I can't think of his name, but he was from a Derry Unionist or a London Derry, whatever, Derry stroke city background, and that he raised a toast to the Queen and never recognised the Taoiseach. And also never and had him sitting facing the roaring Meg gun that was effectively used by the apprentice boys and the way. So he came home, and seemingly there was a lot of drinking involved, and he said, that's it, we're out of the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
And the rules of the Commonwealth were such that that if you were that Republic couldn't be members of the Commonwealth, and the rules were such that you were automatically banned. But they changed the rules 2 weeks later, of which India availed of.
Yeah.
But Republic of Ireland said, that's it, we're out here. And at the moment now, there's 32 Commonwealth, 32 republics, I think, out of 51 in the Commonwealth countries, and 70% of Irish people who born on the island of Ireland, residing overseas, reside in Commonwealth countries.
Yeah.
And it's not the British Commonwealth, it's the Commonwealth of Nations.
Yeah, yeah.
And as I said, if we talk about, you know, and I hear this narrative, we want a united Ireland, and I'm one of these people, unity in one Ireland. But, you know, united Ireland, you know, whatever, there will have to be some aspects of the Commonwealth, either associations or membership.
Yeah.
There has to be some aspects.
Well, the other question I have for you, tying on that, I would ask you, but we're limited on time, about the opposition, which is just, it's very predictable from even light green to the deep green Republicans. But my question is, Michael McDowell, isn't it the grandson of Owen McNeill? He had a piece, I didn't actually get to read it, I only saw the headline in the Sunday Business Post, that true reconciliation, if it means anything, it means reaching out to and understanding the orange. My understanding would be, I come from a unionist family. I feel like I know them quite well, my relatives and friends and community. My understanding would be that Southerners don't know unionists, and two, don't want to know. And the idea that they have in their head, and Matt here, not his fault, it's wide, generally perceived unionists as either like Ian Paisley or Michael Stone or somewhere in between. We only got sort of 3 minutes left for this first part. We can take it on longer, but I suppose in that time, can you maybe build on what Michael McDowell proposed? I don't know if you read it or what I've maybe touched on.
I think there's been huge accommodations to me, the Anglo-Irish Agreement, a Good Friday Agreement. We're in a different space. You have no border. But there is a mindset, and there are two different traditions. And yes, you know, most people from Middle Ireland, as I say, don't understand the union psyche and vice versa, and it'll take a lot more, I suppose, breaking down the barriers. But, you know, we're in a much better space than we were. However, I'm challenging, you know, if, as I said, it can't be just a one-way street. You challenge that, you know, and I think deep down a lot of people know that there's some aspects of unionism that we don't understand, but then there's huge aspects of republicanism or nationalism that unionists don't
understand. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I suppose we lived, I normally say back in the 80s when we were living here and there was trouble in Northern Ireland, I think, Tommy, you'll agree, everyone said, sure, they're all mad up there.
Yes, yes.
But it was our problem, mm-hmm. deep down. It was our problem, the island of Ireland.
Yeah.
But we're in a much better situation. And again, the Queen's visit and the President's visit to the United Kingdom in 2014 was groundbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I just finish because we had huge ties with the United Kingdom. They were our biggest trading partner. Most of the men and women from the west of Ireland, especially in all that, worked in England, in Manchester. And it was the first time the British Irish Chamber of Commerce was set up, was in 2011 after the Queen's visit.
Yeah.
So it was part of our history that we tend to take for granted, and we didn't work it, and now we need to work much, much more because of Brexit. And
yes.
The United Kingdom joined with Republic of Ireland, the EU. And they were very, very good allies of the Republic of Ireland. But remember this, every day, 26 meetings, effectively, are taking place in Europe. And Irish officials and Irish politicians meet UK officials. And that's where a lot of the problems are. And that's gone.
Yeah.
And that has to be replaced by some other mechanism or some other links.
Yeah.
And if it isn't, then we could go back into our own little...
Yeah.
Little fiefdoms or silos, but they cannot be a border.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming here tonight, for meeting me in such short notice. Thank you for your contributions. Very interesting, especially that last bit on Brexit. Just want to thank you guys, Matt and Elizabeth and Tom, for being part of this as well. And thank you to the listeners. And I'll keep you updated. It's only day 15, not even halfway there. So next stop is conversation with Matt and Elizabeth, and then on to County Meath. See you later.